tayong mga Pilipino ang tinuturing na pinaka-demokratikong bansa dito sa Asia when it comes to free press, free expression, wala sigurong katumbas ang kalayaan ng mga Pilipino at kahandaan na magbigkas ng kanilang paniniwala. And that makes the lesson this morning all the more important dahil siyempre tayong mga Kristiyano gusto nating gumawa ng tinig na naaayon sa salita ng Diyos, subalit kadalasan ang ating isinasatinig ay yung mga bagay na binibigkas sa atin ng uri ng pananampalataya na tinatawag nating fundamentalism. And anything that you admire, you feel loath to criticize. And that is how I feel about fundamentalism because I know its history. It began with something which was admirable. Nagsimula ang fundamentalism ng panahon ng liberalismo. When liberalism emerged in Europe, the main front that stood up against liberalism were combined forces of evangelicals from America and Europe in order to defend the truths of the scriptures against the onslaught of liberalism. At naglathala sila ng mga aklat na tinawag na the fundamentals at ito ay from 1910 to 1915, umabot po yan ng 12 volumes. 12 volumes defending such important doctrines as the deity of Christ, salvation by grace, the virgin birth of Christ, at marami pang iba. Subalit ang nangyari din ay dahil kinalimutan nila yung ibang mga bagay na pinagtatalunan nila. Kumbaga, sinabi nila, we have a common enemy, the liberals. Let's forget about our divisions of doctrines, no matter how important they were. Ang nangyari ay kinalimutan muna yon, hinarap ang liberalismo. At ang nangyari dito sa the fundamentals, may mga inilathala rin silang mga bagay na hindi dapat ilathala. Pero dahil nga evangelical naman ang naglalathala, sige na lang. So that's what happened and the evangelical fundamentalism that was the result of it ay masasabi natin bunga ng pinagtanggol ng mga katotohanan pero meron din mga kamalian na hindi nila hinamon kasi nga mga evangelicals tayo, wag muna tayo mag-away-away, harapin natin yung common enemy natin at ang resulta ng mga katotohanan kasama ang mga kamalian ay itong evangelical fundamentalism at ito nga ang ating hinaharap. At ang evangelical fundamentalism, tinitingnan natin ang tatlong naging bunga niyan, ang evangelism nila ay naging decisionism. Pinag-aralan natin yan nung nakaraang linggo, kung saan ang idea ng saving gospel response na dapat ay faith and repentance, ang nangyari ay naging external physical acts like raising your hand, coming forward to the altar, ginawa nilang formula prayer, kapag nagampanan mo na yan, ay yun na ang iyong kaligtasan at yung pang tao na masigasig at taimtim ang nagbibigay ng pagtitiyak. The assurance is given by the person himself, the soul winner himself. Kaya yan ang nangyari po na ang presentasyon ay naging formula, naging pinaliit ang ebanghelyo, naging dikta ang panalangin. The giving of assurance comes from the preacher or the soul winner. At ang naging resulta niyan ay malawakan na false conversion. People are told they are Christians when there has been no real faith and repentance, simply the formula action of coming forward or raising the hand. At sa napag-usapan natin nung nakaraang linggo, marami ang sa atin gumawa ng ganyan, hindi natin sinasabing walang naliligtas sa ganyan sapagkat soberano ang Diyos sa kanyang biyaya, kaya niyang abutin. Kahit pa sa isang maling kaparaanan, kaya niyang abutin kung may munti mang katotohanan, kaya niyang abutin ang isang makasalanan at naniniwala tayo may mga naliligtas dyan. Ang problema ay yung maraming napapaniwala na sila'y ligtas bagamat walang katotohanan. So yan yung isang problema sa fundamentalism, decisionism. Ang ikalawan na titingnan natin ngayon ay spirituality becomes conservatism. Ang kanilang, ang dapat na kingdom spirituality ay naging conservatism. Ano ba itong conservatism? Ikumpara natin ito sa tatlong hanay ng political philosophy. May tinatawag tayong centrist, yan yung pragmatic, kung anong kinakailangan, yun ang gawin natin. So that is the centrist philosophy. Walang pinapanigan talaga na filosofiya, kundi pragmatic. Pero yung dalawang hanay na nasa magkabilang panig ng tinatawag na centrist politics, yung tinatawag na leftist, ay liberal and progressive, karaniwan itong kumahawak sa isang socialist economy. Ang ibig sabihin, ipinapaubaya sa pamahalaan ang pagpaplano, ang pagdidistribute ng mga may kinalaman sa ekonomiya. So socialist, at yung pananaw nila ng Estado, ang Estado ay para sa kawanggawa ng mga mamamayan, welfare state. And then it believes in liberal freedom, and it looks at society as primarily secular. Pansinin niyo kung gaano ito kumukontra, sumasalungat sa rightist and conservative, naniniwala ang conservative philosophy sa capitalist economy. Ang ibig sabihin niyan, malaya ang mga individual kung paano nila gagamitin ang kanilang kabuhayan, bigyan ng kalayaan ng pamahalaan, at ang pagtingin nila sa Estado, it's a law state. The state is there to para pairali ng batas. And while they believe in freedom, tinitingnan nila ang pangangailangan at pagdidiin sa civic duties, and they look at society as primarily religious rather than secular. So, diyan natin makikita ang pagkakaiba ng conservatism from liberal and progressive politics. So, the fundamentalist philosophy of government and society is what we call conservatism. Pag narinig mo yung conservatism, it conserves. Pinapanatili nito yung makalumang tradisyon, yung makalumang mga kahalagahan, the old values. And in America particularly, there have been some important influences nitong conservative or fundamentalist conservatism. This is Jerry Falwell. From 1933, he died recently in 2007, pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church in Virginia, and also the founder and leader of Moral Majority in America, a very influential movement and organization na very rightist and very much actively involved in American politics. Also, that's Jerry Falwell. Another is Pat Robertson, born in 1930, and up to now, the anchor of the very influential TV program, the 700 Club. And in fact, in 1988, he campaigned to become the candidate of the Republican Party, but failed. Pero makikita natin dito yung impluensya ni Pat Robertson, dahil hanggang ngayon, kung ano yung komentaryo niya sa 700 Club, nagiging headline yan. At kapag nag-criticize siya ng mga nasa pamunuan, dinirinig ng milyon-milyon. So that's, he's very influential up to now, although he's now into his 80s, but still very influential. And then an influential institution is the Bob Jones University, founded by Bob Jones Sr. in 1927. It continues to be a stalwart of rightist politics. At ang impluensya nito, makikita ninyo na kapag merong presidential election during the campaign, all presidential candidates are expected to give an important speech to the student body of the Bob Jones University. Nangyari yan nung last time between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. Nangyari before that between John McCain and again Barack Obama. Nangyayari yan lagi na kapag merong presidential candidate, he should be able to defend his position before the body of Bob Jones University. At ang presidente niya ngayon, si Bob Jones pa rin, the third na. Bob Jones Sr., yung founder, pinalitan ni Bob Jones Jr., ang president kayo si Bob Jones the third. Siguro ang papalit sa kanya si Bob Jones the fourth. Pero yan ang mga maimpluensyang mga tao at mga institusyon na nagpapasulong ng rightist and conservative politics. Saan nila kinukuha itong kanilang masyadong aktibong pakikisangkot sa politika at yung kanilang konserbatibo na mga pananaw. Isang pinagkukuhaan nito ay ang kanilang doktrina na pinag-usapan na natin noon, yung kanilang premillennial view. Hindi natin to pag-uusapan doctrinally. It has its own discussion perhaps in another topic. Pero yung paniniwala nila na pagdating ni Jesus, when Jesus comes, the na-rapture. When Jesus comes, there will be the rapture of the church, meaning all Christians will be taken into heaven, and what will be left behind are yung Israel, at yung Israel ay magpapasok sa tinatawag nilang tribulation period, and then in the tribulation period, magkakaroon pa dyan ng mga malaking suffering, the Antichrist will rule, and then Christ will come after 7 years, ito yung second phase ng kanyang second coming, at the second phase of his second coming, he will introduce the millennial age. And in the millennium, ano ang mangyayari? In the millennium, Jesus will rule on earth based in Jerusalem. Siya ang ruler ngayon ng mundo. And take note that to them, it is a political rule. It is a rule of one who has an administration over the world based in Jerusalem. So, ito yung millennium. Yung kanilang pananaw sa millennium ay political rule of Christ. That shows us how important the political structure to them is. Kung gagamitin nito ni Jesus sa millennium, ngayon pa lang, ginagamit na ng Panginoong Jesus. At isang napakahalaga para sa kanila na nagbigay ng impluensya sa kanilang premillennial position is that fundamentalists advocate an uncompromising pro-Israel position and policy. Kasi ang paniwala nila riyan, ang interpretation nila ng Matthew 25, remember Matthew 25, what you have done for my brethren, you did not do it for my brethren, o hindi mo pinakain ang aking mga kapatiran, ang interpretation nila roon ay Israel yun. So they think and they teach that the nations that will be admitted into the millennium are only nations which are friendly to Israel. Ganyan ang kanilang posisyon. Kaya dapat pro-Israel. Kapag hindi pro-Israel, ay rejected ka sa millennial reign. Kaya ang naging kanilang posisyon, very pro-Israel. Makikita nyo yan sa kanilang mga lobby sa Congress ng Amerika. Kapag hindi ka pro-Israel, lagot ka sa mga fundamentalists. So fundamentalists are very strong advocates of pro-Israel policies. Yung Israel ngayon sa Middle East, kaya laban sila sa mga Arabs at bawat pangulo dapat ay pro-Israel ang kanyang foreign policy. So yan ang nangyayari. Ito ang Israel, yung munting yellow portion na yan. Nanginginig lang ang screen. Makikita nyo ang Israel napapaligiran ng naglalakihang mga Arab states. Syria on the north, Jordan on the west, Egypt on the south, Saudi Arabia, at napakalalaking mga bansa yan, napakaliit ng Israel. And yet, the policy that the American government needs to advocate in order to gain the support of conservatives is that they must be pro-Israel. At marami ang nasasama dyan sapagkat sa kanilang pananaw, ang Israel pa rin ang bayan ng Diyos ngayon. Nananatili yan. Kaya na-rapture na ang church. Kumbaga sa rapture, balik na sa Israel ang plano ng Diyos. So that is what they believe. Nations that are anti-Israel will not be admitted into the millennium. At ewan ko kung ang Pilipinas ay ma-admit doon. Pero ganyan ang kanilang pananaw. Now, what they fail to see is that this is a failure of understanding of the New Testament teaching that the prophetic anticipation of the Old Testament finds fulfillment in the church. Hindi naman natin tinatanggi na ang plano ng Diyos nakainog sa Israel sa lumang tipan. Pero sa pagtuturo ng bagong tipan sapagkat ang Israel ay hindi naging tapat sa kanyang panawagan, ang katuparan na ng plano ng Diyos ay inilipat sa isang pangkat na kumakatawan at sumasaklaw, hindi na lamang sa Israel, kundi mga Hudyo at mga Hentil na at tinatawag na nating Iglesia. It is now the church. Hindi pinabayaan ng Israel, hindi tinalikuran ng Israel, kundi pinalawak na. Hindi na lamang Israel, kundi Israel at mga Hentil. Yan ang naging plano ng Diyos. Hindi natin ito mapag-uusapan, but this is a tabular chart to show that every category, lahat ng kategorya sa lumang tipan na tumukoy sa Israel, lahat ng yan pagdating sa bagong tipan, itinukoy na sa iglesia. Saints, elect, beloved, called, etc. Pinapakita lamang natin na sa bagong tipan, kung ano ang itinawag sa Israel, inilipat na sa iglesia. Yan ang katotohanan na hindi nila makita. So, ang iglesia ang siyang tumatanggap na ng katuparan ng mga ipinangako sa Israel, hindi dahil sa tinalikuran ng Israel, kundi pinalawak na hindi na lamang nakalimita sa Israel, kundi Hudyo at mga Hentil. Pero patuloy ang kanilang kasigasigan na isulong ang sa kanilang pananaw ay pro-Israel. Hindi na yan. Makikita natin dito yung mga talata na halimbawa sa Galatians 6:16, the Israel of God, yan ay pangalan na ng iglesia. Ang iglesia na ang the Israel of God sa New Testament. Nang sabihin ni Jesus sa Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. The word church is not strange to the apostles. In fact, the word church is already used in the Old Testament. Kapag ang Israel ay nagtipon sa kanilang taunang mga piging, 3 times a year, pumupunta sila sa Jerusalem para magkaroon ng kanilang annual feasts. Ang tinatawag sa kanila ay the Congregation of Yahweh, Kahal Yahweh. Nung isalin ang Kahal Yahweh sa Septuagint Greek, ang tinawag niyan ay Ecclesia Kurio, Church of the Lord, Church of Yahweh. Kaya yung salitang Ecclesia, hindi strange sa mga apostol. Anong bago dito? Ang bago dito ay tinawag ito ng Panginoon, My Church. It is no longer the Church of Israel in the Old Testament. This is now My Church. And then, kabakailan lamang, nung isang linggo lamang, ang naging teksto ng ating pangangaral, Matthew 21:43. Sinabi niya, Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, Israel, and given to a people producing its fruits. And these people producing its fruits refers to the church. The church as Jews and Gentiles. No longer limited just to Israel. Yan ang hindi nila naiintindihan. Pero yung kanilang premillennial teaching, isang pundasyon niya ng kanilang conservatism. Kaya kailangan nating maunawaan yan. At dahil dyan, napunta sila sa tinatawag nating rightist politics. In the rightist politics, the concept is that it is the duty of government to advance the law of God and the cause of Christ. Yun ang kanilang paniniwala. Kaya ang sinusuportahan nilang kalimitan ay ang mga Republicans. At ang pinakamatagumpay para sa kanila na Republican in recent memory ay Ronald Reagan. He was successful in terms of the economy. He was very pro-Israel at bagamat nagkaroon ng ilang problema sa kanyang pampanguluhan, subalit siya pa rin ang tinitingala ngayon ng mga fundamentalist na an example of a God-blessed presidency because he was very rightist. So they favor politicians and policies that support their Christian position. So ang kanilang political involvement ay nakikita sa kanilang mga core values. Ang kanilang paniniwala, conservative politics should be anti-abortion, capitalist economy, it should be anti-socialist, anti-communist, which means for the most part, in fact, for all historical purposes, they have always supported Republicans. Alam nyo, ang America divided into two major parties, Democrats. Si President Obama ngayon ay Democrat. Ang kanyang pinalitan na si George W. Bush ay Republican. Before George W. Bush, it was Clinton who was a Democrat. Before Clinton, it was George H.W. Bush who was a Republican. Eh, kumisang magpapalit-palit lang ang mga yan. Pero ang fundamentalists, laging ang suporta nila ay nasa Republican kasi ito ang kanilang core values, anti-abortion, capitalist economy, etc. Now, am I anti-abortion? You bet. I believe that to be abortion is murder. However, to blame it on government, I believe is a misconstruction. Ang dapat nasisihin dyan ay ang maling pagpapalaki sa mga pamilya, ng mga magulang, hindi sa gobyerno. But I am anti-abortion. But to say that because a government is not anti-abortion, it no longer has the right to rule, is a misconstruction of the whole thing, as we shall see. Am I capitalist? I am. I believe that freedom of the market should be the guiding force of the economy. But does that mean I am to be against a government that advocates a socialist policy? No. Yan ay nasa individual na pagpapasya. Pero yan ang nangyayari sa conservative politics. At yan ang kanilang isinusulong. At ang isang makikita nyo sa mga fundamentalists ay yung kanilang active campaign. And in the Philippines, there is a sustained effort to elect a candidate that is either sympathetic to Christians or a Christian himself. Yan ang kanilang paniniwala na isang paraan na impluensyahan ang lipunan ay sa paraan na may Kristiyano sa Malacanang. Kaya sa mga nakalipas na mga eleksyon, ito ang makikita natin na kanilang ginawa. In 1998, the Christian fundamentalists, evangelicals supported JDV, Joe de Venecia. Ay, naalala ko pa yung kanilang grand rally sa Luneta Grandstand noon na ang nakalagay ay yung big initials na Jesus Declaration of Victory, JDV. And I cannot forget how angry I was, not in the sense of personal hostility to anyone, but the thought that the victory of Jesus is made to stand on a politician's victory is to me so unacceptable. Jesus does not need a politician to win to gain victory. He already won his victory by his resurrection. And to say that the declaration of victory of Jesus is through the election of JDV is to me the worst kind of deception. Anong nangyari? Propesiya pa yan. Kabi-kabilang propeta ang kanilang inupahan para magdeklara ng victory ni Joe de Venecia. Abay, bakit biglang erap? Baka na-misspell. Well, before JDV, they supported Ramos, which he won. Eh, siguro namihasa sila na ito ang kanilang tungkulin. And then hindi na sila nagkasya dahil sa disappointment nila in 1998. So in 2004, mismong yung kanilang pinuno na ang kanilang isinalang. 2004, and again, kabi-kabilang propeta ang kanilang hiniram para magdeklara. And let me say, I was there in Araneta during his declaration of candidacy. I wanted to listen to him. I wanted to give him my ear because he's a brother. And I wanted to listen to him. And what I heard was comparing him to Joshua, comparing him to all these great men of God in the Old Testament. That's why he deserves the presidency. It was just too much for me. And in 2004, he lost. He ran again 2010, still for the presidency. Again, he lost. He ran for the Senate in 2013. And again, he lost. And all these are supposedly supported by prophetic proclamation. Hindi ba nila nakikita kung gaano nila nilalagay sa kahihiyan ang simulain ng propesya ng salita ng Diyos nang dahil sa kanilang pagpipilit na ang paghahari ng Diyos ay isinusulong sa pamamagitan ng politika. Now, let me make myself clear. It is not wrong for a Christian to have a career in politics. If any one of you here someday will become a congressman, a senator, or even a president, be a good one. Be a competent one. It's not wrong. I can tell you of Abraham Kuyper, a reformed Christian who became Prime Minister of the Netherlands in the year 1900 to 1905, and one of the best. Even history acknowledges that. So hindi masama ang Kristiyano ay pumasok sa politika. Walang pagbabawal dyan kung yan ang iyong panawagan. But let me make myself clear, it is wrong for the church, as a church, to make a political advocacy outside of its mandate. Ang advokasya ng iglesia ay may kinalaman sa ibang bagay. Samantalang ang pamahalaan, anong advocacy ng pamahalaan, ano ang mandato ng pamahalaan? Hustisya. Hindi isulong ang Kristyanismo. Hindi isulong ang misyon ng Ebanghelyo. Walang kinalaman ang pamahalaan dyan. The mandate of government, sabi ng Romans 13, ang mga pamamahalang iyon ay itinalaga ng Diyos. And ang mga pinuno ay hindi kilabot sa mabuting gawa, kundi sa masama. Kung masama ang ginagawa mo, matakot ka sapagkat hindi walang kabuluhan ang pagdadala niya ng tabak, siya ay lingkod ng Diyos upang ilapat ang puot sa gumagawa ng masama. It means justice is a mandate of government. Not welfare, not mission, not the gospel. Kapag pumasok ang pamahalaan sa ebanghelyo, lalong mapapasama ang ebanghelyo. Kaya ayaw natin dapat na ang pamahalaan ay pumasok sa usapin ng iglesia o ng ebanghelyo. Pero sa Amerika, pinaglalaban nila na ang pamahalaan dapat gumawa ng batas na manalangin ang mga eskwela, magkaroon ng Bible Week at iba pa. We don't want that. We honor the Bible, of course. We want to pursue the biblical cause. But it's not for the government. Ayaw natin na dumihan ng gobyerno ang misyon ng iglesia. Ayoko ng pork barrel na tustusan ang misyon ng iglesia. Hindi natin kailangan yan. Yan ang hindi maintindihan ng mga kapatid natin na fundamentalists. And here, we need to remind ourselves of how different kingdom spirituality is. It's not conservatism. What is kingdom spirituality? Isipin natin, the kingdom of Christ has already been established. Sa kanila, sa millennium pa. Sinasabi natin, when Christ came, He already established the kingdom. Yan ang sinabi ng gawa. Sinitas nila ang sinabi ni David, isa sa kanyang angka na ilulukluk niya sa kanyang trono. Kailan nangyari iyon? The next shaded portion, nagsalita si David tungkol sa ikalawang pagparito? Hindi. Kailan nangyari na iniluklok sa kanyang trono? Sa muling pagkabuhay ng Kristo. Doon na nangyari ang pagkakaluklok sa kanyang kaharian. Sinabi, nakaharap niya si Pilato, sinabi, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting." Ang ibig niyang sabihin, hindi gagamit ang kaharian ni Kristo ng mga pamamaraan ng politika, gaya ng paglaban. At isaklaw na rin natin dyan ang iba pang pamamaraang politika. The way to pursue the kingdom cause is not through march rallies, not through prayer rallies. Attend the prayer meeting, but don't make a rally of it. It's not a rally. It's a prayer of the church. Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." Ano yung ibig sabihin? Ang kinikilos ng kaharian ni Kristo ay hindi sa politika, kundi kaligtasan. Nagliligtas siya ng mga makasalanan at doon nakikita ang pwersa ng kaharian ni Jesucristo. Matthew 4:23, he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Ano ang mensahe ng kaharian? Gospel. Hindi political right or any political platform for that matter. Not capitalism. It's gospel. And Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So kung susumahin natin lahat yan, etong sinasabi natin, the kingdom of Christ ay mga salvation blessings. Hindi ito mga politika. It is mediated to the world through the mission of the church. Nagsimula ito sa first coming, not second coming. He rules over his people, not the world. And it is through the power of the Holy Spirit, not politics. Ang pagkakamali ng fundamentalism is the failure to distinguish between kingdom of God and human society. Human society, yan ay creation blessings and common grace. Pinamamahalaan ito ng Diyos sa kanyang providensya, hindi sa kaharian. Ang kaharian ay tumutukoy sa mga nagpasakop kay Kristo. So, ang political structure pumapailalim sa creation blessing at common grace under the providential oversight of God. Hindi ito natin nilalagay sa ilalim ng kaharian ng Diyos. Yan ang malaking pagkakamali ng ating mga kapatid. So, are we pursuing the kingdom mission? Yes. Kapag tayo ay merong katulad ng ating Reformed and Reforming Conference na magkakaroon tayo uli next month, yan ay pursuing kingdom mission. Pero pinababayaan ba natin ang creation mandate? Hindi. Meron tayong, yan ang winning painting sa ating proyekto ng Kalinga sa Nilikha, ang legacy painting ni Myla. Yan ay in pursuance of creation mandate, na mangalaga tayo ng kalikasan. Pero ang punto ay hindi natin pinapailalim ang politika, ang lipunan na ito ay nasa kaharian ni Jesucristo. Tinatawag natin ang mga tao na magpasakop kay Jesucristo sa kanyang kaharian, pero hindi lahat ng nasa lipunan ay kaharian ni Jesucristo. Yan ang kanilang malaking pagkakamali. Ngayon, ang ibig mong sabihin ng iglesia ay walang ambag sa lipunan? Hindi po. In fact, naniniwala tayo na malaki ang papel ng iglesia sa lipunan, but by what means? By the means of the gospel. Naniniwala tayo na the gospel of salvation, kapag ito ay ginawang misyon ng iglesia, anong magiging kalalabasan? Sinners are saved. When sinners are saved, they become good citizens as salt and light in society. And then, the church also proclaims. Gumagawa siya ng proclamation against evil in society. So may effect tayo sa lipunan through counterculture, through reformation, through revival, and that's our impact upon human society. And that has been proven in history. Let me just cite one. After the French Revolution, it led into the reign of terror. Yung kanilang inakalang revolusyon na magbibigay ng equality, fraternity, and liberty, na uwi sa reign of terror ng mamahala si Maximien Robespierre. At inasahan na yung England susunod sa Frances. Pero napigil ito because of the Methodist revival, the preaching of the gospel. And it has been proven again and again that great changes in society happen because of the influence of the gospel. So hindi tayo na, huwag tayong mangimi. Kung sabihin nila, wala kayong ambag sa lipunan, kundi mangaral lang ebanghelyo. Hindi ito mangaral lang ng ebanghelyo. Ang pangangaral ng ebanghelyo ay may malaking pagbabagong ginagawa sa mga individual at sa pamagitan nila ay sa lipunan. So the gospel is powerful to change individuals Godward and then societies manward. And the gospel is entrusted to the church and not to the state. Kaya itong sinabi ni Pablo tungkol sa lipunan, lahat ng Tinatawag niya ang iglesia na manalangin sa lahat ng nasa mataas na katungkulan upang tayo'y mamuhay na tahimik at payapa sa buong kabanalan at paggalang. Anong papel ng iglesia? Nakabata ito sa nagnanais ang Panginoon na ang lahat ng tao ay maligtas at makarating sa pagkakilala ng katotohanan. Batay sa pagtuturo na may isang Diyos at may isang tagapamagitan sa Diyos at sa mga tao, ang taong si Kristo Jesus. E ano ang papel ng iglesia? Itong sinabi ni Pablo. Kung ano si Pablo, ganito ang iglesia. Para dito itinalaga ako na isang mangangaral. Ganito ang iglesia sa lipunan. Hindi kalahok sa politika, hindi partido, hindi kandidato, hindi politiko. Ang iglesia ay mangangaral. Sa pangangaral ng ebanghelyo, nagkakaroon ng malaking pagbabago sa mga tao at ito ang makapagbabago sa lipunan. Kaya ang hamon ko ay, we need to pursue kingdom spirituality, not rightist politics. So we go back to the biblical foundation. And when you go to the biblical foundation, you will realize it is a far cry from present fundamentalism. Any question?
No.
Any question or thoughts? Any questions, comments, thoughts, Mikaya?
So, Pastor, clarification lang po. If you were to choose, kanari po election, between a candidate who is seemingly politically competent, however, ang kanyang ang platform niya ay meron tayong issue against his or her platform morally. For example na lang ay pro-abortion siya. Would it be better to choose that person over a less competent candidate but who stands for certain moral issues?
Kung ilalagay natin ito halimbawa sa konteksto ng Pilipinas, wala tayong abortion dito, kahit pa pro-abortion yung kandidato, wala siyang magagawa para isulong ang abortion. And I'm sure the Catholic Church will stand against that. Kaya kahit pa pro-abortion siya, he cannot promote abortion in the Philippines. So I will measure him by his other platforms. Kaysa yung ayawan ko na lang siya dahil pro-abortion siya. At kahit na ang kalaban niya ay Kristiyano, pero incompetent, I will still choose the competent unbeliever rather than an incompetent believer because I look for a ruler who is competent and just rather than a Christian. Kung ilagay mo naman ito sa konteksto ng Amerika, meron ng abortion doon by law since 1973 by the ruling ng Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. Ay by law na yan. Kaya kahit pa anti-abortion ang kandidato sa pagkapangulo, which all Republicans are, ay they still cannot overturn the law. So hindi ko siya basta iboboto lang dahil anti-abortion siya. So you have to look at this in the context of society. You cannot judge a candidate just on the issue of abortion because that is too narrow-minded. Go ahead.
Follow up lang po. Hindi ko naman po in-specify na presidential candidate. What if itong mga candidates na to are nasa Senate or Congress, yun pong mga gumagawa at nag-aano mismo ng law?
Yeah, kasama na yun. Siya man ay sa executive branch or legislative, hindi ko siya susukatin sa isang munting pamantayan, like whether he is pro or anti-abortion. Now, if everything else being equal, that will be a plus factor to me kung siya ay anti-abortion. But my point is, I will not judge the candidacy of an individual on a very narrow-minded standard na abortion lang. Halimbawa, sa isang issue sa Amerika, nangyayari yung bombing of abortion clinics. Are you going to stand for that just because you are against abortion? Binobomba at may mga pinapatay na abortion doctors, sasabihin mo ba na this is in defense of the unborn who are being killed? So, bobombahin mo yung abortion clinics or abortion doctors Well, to me, that is putting the law in your own hands, which makes it worse for society. As anti-abortion as I am, hindi maari na yun lamang ang magiging sukatan natin. Other questions? Other questions? Myla.
Pastor, we look up somehow sa American politics being a two-party system. Dahil lang sistema natin ay napakagulo. And then, kahit ganoon, yung pinakita nyo, somehow defined sa kanila kung ano ang kanilang mga principles. Unlike ulit, sadly, sa atin. Can you give an example of a country na malapit dito sa ideal na pinag-uusapan natin gobyerno? Maybe two-party system lang siya, pero ang mga pinaninindigan ay hindi itong mga bagay na ganito lang para nagiging religious ang issue.
Well, you have Great Britain where you also have a two-party system. Actually, they are multi-party, but the two major parties are the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, and they are not battling on religious issues, but political and philosophical issues. But of course, meron pang ibang parties sa Great Britain, but those are the two major parties. And then the multi-party systems in Europe, ay meron silang yung tinatawag na pagkatapos ng eleksyon at walang nakakuha ng majority kasi multi-parties nga, yan ang karaniwang nangyayari sa atin, the first two candidates, yung number one and number two sa kanilang resulta, maglalaban uli just to be able to get the majority. May tawag doon? Runoff election, meaning magkakaroon sila ng panibagong tunggalian. The philosophy is to get the majority. Dito sa atin, multi-party tayo, pero walang runoff. Ang nangyayari, the winning president only has a plurality, meaning the majority is against him. Eh, paano ka magkakaroon ng matibay na liderato kung ganun ang sistema? The one president in a recent political history who had an absolute majority was Arab. Anong nangyari sa kanya? So, yun ang point na there is something so warped in our political culture. Jenny.
Hi, Pastor. I'm not really into this political jargon, no? Lalo na yung mga American system na yan. But correct me kung mali ako. So yun you say, rightist, ano, and then there are yung ano, anti-Arab sila and pro-Israel. Now, since you said in the second test, in the old, the New Testament, ang ano na, dahil unfaithful kasi mga Israelites, ano, so ano na na, bigay na yung privileges sa mga Gentiles na rin. So, are you sort of saying na yung pagka, I think the Americans are so strongly pro-Israel, ano, anti-Arab sila. is this very, very wrong? But if you, but then again, before you answer that, para sa akin, is it correct of me to think, to feel sorry for the Arabs also? Because I feel like it's such a one-sided thing na parang dinidiin nila na salbahe ang Arabs. Yeah.
Well, America is definitely pro-Israel, no question about that. And every administration has been pro-Israel. However, magkakaiba-iba rin ang sitwasyon niyan. Republicans have been much more staunchly pro-Israel, anti-Arabic. Democrats have been more or less balanced. That's why it was Jimmy Carter who arbitrated the peace treaty between Israel and Egypt, the first between Israel and an Arab country, between then Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat, 1979. And Carter was a Democrat and a Baptist. Pero yung mga Republican much more staunchly pro-Israel and very often anti-Arabic, which I believe is unbalanced. Hindi naman natin pwede tingnan ng Israel na laging tama. Eh yan ang tingin ng mga fundamentalists kasi nation of God. At ang tingin nila sa Israel lagi ay protected and guided by God. I don't think so. I believe that Palestinians do have a right to their homeland. While I also believe that Israelis have a right. Maraming pagkakamali yan theologically as well as historically. Ang Israel ngayon, hindi na yan even racially speaking, hindi na yan ang Israel ng Old Testament. Yung 10 tribes ng Old Testament Israel, nawala na yan, na-integrate sila in the Assyrian exile, nawala na yan racially dahil sa intermarriage. So ang natira na lang practically ay yung the two tribes, the remnants, pero sa Israel ngayon, hinati na nila ang kanilang bayan, sa, again using yung pangalan ng 12 tribes. Pero they are not actually the descendants of the 10 tribes. So whether racially speaking or theologically speaking, the Israel of the Old Testament is not the Israel, or the Israel of the Middle East today is not the Israel of the Old Testament. Go ahead, Jen.
So, Pastor, concerning the Christian churches, does that mean that they are not really so obliged to take sides? No? So, I mean, everyone has his own opinion, but I think there's no obligation for churches to take sides. No, kung ano.
What I'm saying is that a church should not advocate a political platform, a political issue, because the church is for kingdom issues, not political issues.
Okay.
Now, a Christian who is a member of a church can have a political career. As I said, be a good one. Pero hindi natin pwedeng gamitin ang iglesia bilang iglesia na humahawak at sinusulong ang adhikain na pampolitika. Whether the candidacy of an individual or the platform of a party, that is not for the church to undertake. Josiah.
Is it wrong to use your, for example, a Christian is in authority. Is it wrong to use your authority or your power to further parang something that you believe is glorifying to God or ano? Kasi parang naisip ko lang na, for example, dun sa America na binaban nila ang praying sa schools because parang nawawala raw, ano, parang nawawala yung secularism or something. Parang, if you're the president of a school, would you fight for the maintaining the praying, the morning prayers in schools or not?
Well, you may be shocked by my answer. It is not for the president. It is not for secular authority to promote Christian causes. So if I were president, no, I will not make prayer a matter of law. It is a matter of freedom. So sinasabi mo, it should be God glorifying. But how does government glorify God? Government glorifies God by justice to all, not by promoting the Christian cause. Now, as a pastor, I will do all my power to the death to promote the Christian cause. But if I were president, I will do all my power again to the death to promote justice for all, whether Christian or Catholics or atheist, I will promote justice for all.
Follow-up lang po. Does this also apply to, for example, you're like a professor in the classroom or you're a manager in the office?
Oh yes, a professor in the classroom must teach well. Just like yung pinag-aralan natin last time sa worth of work, a carpenter should make good tables. So a professor must teach well. He is not there to win souls. Now outside his office time, he should be a good Christian and take some time to witness, but he is not teaching, he is not being paid by the school to win souls. He is there to teach math or whatever it is he's teaching. Be a good teacher of your subject. At mali na gamitin mo ang iyong time, kung professor ka o teacher ka, na magsulong ng gospel message. Because the school is paying you to teach what you ought to teach. Paul. No. When I say government should not make a law mandating prayer, that also means government should not make a law banning prayer. It's not government should not mandate prayer, government should not ban prayer. It's every individual's freedom. So walang banning dito, and I am for complete freedom when it comes to religious beliefs. Marian.
Pastor, gusto ko lang po yung itanong po yung itong sa Christian news mo po natin. Marami kasing kasabihan po o marami talaga akong mga naririnig po against doon sa dito sa ating bansa, ano, na dito sa Philippines, marami tayong mga iba't ibang mga klase ng mga Kristiyano, mga katulad ng mga GIL o kung ano-ano mga pangalan ng mga leader ng bawat church po. Ngayon po, itatanong ko lang din po, Pastor, na bakit po dito marami po tayong mga iba't ibang klase pong ano ng Kristiyano, pero bakit po marami pa rin po tayong mga tawag nito? Marami pong mga pangyayaring hindi maganda po dito sa atin, katulad ng mga ibabang mga crimes, mga pang-hold up o whatever na mga hindi magandang gawain po ng tulad talaga ng isang Kristiyano. Unlike po sa ibang lugar like Japan or Singapore, bakit po hindi po nauso ang mga police doon sa kanila na since na hindi naman po sila tinatawag na parang Kristiyan na bansa?
Ayan ang sinasabi ko, na ang mandato ng pamahalaan ay justice. In Japan, there is justice. In Singapore, there is justice. Not Christian government. Dito, Christian government kuno, pero walang justice. So it is not Christianity that government should promote. That is not for the government. For the government to do that, it will soil Christianity. It is the church that must promote Christianity and must do so with all its zeal. For that matter, government must promote not Christianity but justice and do it with all its zeal. So yung mga pamahalaan na talagang may justice, sumasagana ang kanilang lipunan kahit hindi sila professedly Christian. At yun ang gusto natin sa pamahalaan. Pamahalaang may katarungan. And the fundamentalists, I am sad to say, are deviating from that mandate by making government promote the Christian cause. Any last thoughts? John.
Pastor, so na-establish po natin that the church should not participate, further the responsibilities that should be for government. But as individuals, can we exercise our rights to para promote what we believe as, say, participating in peaceful demonstrations like yung sa mga against pork barrel rally that happened recently?
Well, by all means, you are free to do so. So kung gusto mong makipamahayag sa mga nagra-rally laban sa pork barrel, it's your freedom. But it is not for the church to advocate that.
It is clear that it's the government's role to promote justice and maintain peace and order. Now then, whose role is it to manage the country's economy and social welfare? Kasi apparently, the government is using that also, kaya nagkakaroon tayo ng mga pork barrel. I believe it is the private sector. Ano po yung thoughts niyo rito?
Well, I believe that the primary role of the government is to exercise justice through the law, and by exercising justice through the law ay mababantayan yung mga interest ng mga nagsisika para sa kanilang kabuhayan. So I believe that the main business of government is the law, not economy. However, because of the depravity of man, economy can be so mishandled that it becomes an instrument of injustice. Doon papasok na the government has a regulatory authority na huwag hayaan na ang economy ay mapakiling ng gusto sa ilang sektor na magiging hindi makatarungan sa iba pa. But to that extent, I believe that the government has a role in the economy so that it will not lean unfairly on just one side or one sector. But the main business or occupation of government is to exercise justice through the fair application of the law. Go ahead.
How about social welfare?
I have my own view tungkol sa social welfare. I believe that that is not the main business of government. Ang nangyari dito, sisimplihan ko na lang, there was a time that these things were private initiatives, charity institutions, organizations, and that way, naging charitable ang mga tao, grateful ang mga tumatangga. Nang ito inilipat sa pamahalaan, naging human right. At nang maging human right, anong nangyari? Sinisi ang pamahalaan, naging karapatan nila. At kapag hindi maibigay ng pamahalaan, sinisisi ang pamahalaan. So you see how it happened in Europe. From charity initiative resulting in grateful citizenry, transferred to the government, it became a right which resulted in a blaming citizenry. And that's what happened. That's what's happening in Europe. Malapit na rin ang Amerika sa ganung sitwasyon. Ano pa? Paul?
Pastor, dun sa US, hindi ba certain states have enacted legislation to allow marriage among gays? If marriage is an institution that originated from the church, is it the duty of the church to pursue a biblical definition of marriage in the public discussion?
Isa-isa natin. I believe in the freedom of adults. If they want to use their freedom to brutalize themselves morally, that's their thing to do. If two men are going to have a cohabitation, that's for them to decide freely. It's for them to stand before God in judgment. I'm not, even as an authority in the law, we cannot prohibit that. That's their freedom. To make it marriage means the state now has a right, has a responsibility to them. Unang-una, pag marriage yan, meron na agad tax deduction. Dahil may... So, kumbaga, meron ng responsibilidad ang pamahalaan sa kanila. And that to me is wrong. It's their freedom. I'm not going to stand against their freedom. But to make it a marriage institution renders the state responsible for their keep. And that's not right because that's my tax. Kung gawin nila yun sa kanilang sariling kalayaan, walang buwis na galing sa akin bilang mamamayan. Pero kung maging mag-asawa sila by law, may buwis na ng mamamayan na ginugugol para sa kanila, and that to me is wrong. So that's my position. Recognize their freedom, but not as a marriage. Go ahead.
As defined in the Bible.
I'm sorry?
Yung role po ng church, is it the role of the church or responsibility of the church or the responsibility of Christians to defend the biblical definition of marriage?
May marriage naman kahit outside the church. So hindi lang ang church ang may custody or oversight ng marriage. In fact, a ship captain can officiate marriage, mayors, governors, etc. Pero kung isusulong ng isang halimbawa bill na gawing legal ang same-sex marriage, I will stand against that as a citizen. So last na lang, I'm already being pressed on the wall. Last, Mayla.
practical lang, Pastor, tatanong ko lang kasi kanina sa lecture nyo, na-mention nyo na we had a reformation, reform conference, Sunday school seminar pala, nung time na may Million March ba yun? And you said something like, we were not there because we have a conference, seminar. What does it mean to, especially to the young people? Does it mean that kung wala ako sa seminar, dapat akong pumunta doon? Or if the seminar is not there, would you ask everyone to go there? Paano po ba yung mga ganung bagay?
As I've said, pagdating sa mga political activities, it's individual freedom. They want to go, they're free to go. But I will not stand as a pastor and tell my church that you should go to a political rally of any sort. I've been to some, very few, but to some, as a citizen. Kahit na ako'y pastor, ako'y mamamayan pa rin. I was there in Calawan during the Sarmenta Gomez killing, doing a demonstration against the mayor. I was there in 1986. I was there in EDSA again in 2001. Those were the very few exercises I believe I felt strongly to participate, but again, as a citizen, not as a pastor or as a leader of a church, kundi just as a citizen. And every citizen has that right to feel strongly about a cause and then participate in that cause as he sees right. Go ahead.
Pastor, follow-up lang. Halimbawa, sa mga causes na yan, pwede bang ang isang Kristiyano, for example, one among us, would call a meeting to ask or to invite the group, majority siguro ay miyembro ng church, para as a group ay mag-participate?
Well, again, every individual has the freedom to persuade. So kasama na yung may kalayaan siya na manindigan sa kanyang adhikain, may kalayaan din siyang maghikayat ng maniniwala sa kanya. And if he wants to do that in the membership, he's free to do so. Kung ang kanyang hinihikayat ay mga adhikain sa politika, sa lipunan, pero kung magkalat na siya ng mga katuruan na sinasabi niyang batay sa Biblia na laban sa pinaninindigan ng iglesia, ay hindi nakalayaan yun. That's sowing dissension. So, pag-ibahin natin yung katuruang batay sa Biblia at yung adhikain at paniniwala na political. So, again, let me emphasize that we believe in freedom, freedom of choice, freedom of opinion, freedom of sentiment, and we must advocate that. You are free to choose your career, but the church has a well-defined mandate and mission. And I'm afraid the fundamentalists have compromised that with their advocacy of conservative politics, and we must reject that because we are guarding the mission of the church because we believe in the power of the gospel to change. And when the gospel changes individuals, it can change society. It has done before. It is still doing it. And I look forward to seeing it done in the Philippines. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, kami lubos na nagpapasalamat na maaari kaming manindigan sa iyong salita sa panahon na nakikita namin ang impluensya ng fundamentalism sa lipunan, sa ibang bansa at maging dito sa aming bansa sa mga pamamalakad ng politika. Panalangin namin, Panginoon, na bigyan mo kami ng karunungan sa aplikasyon nito, na bantayan namin na ang misyon ng iglesia ay huwag mahaluan ng politika, huwag makompromiso sa mga bagay ng adhikain ng mga partido, kundi lagi naming hanapin ang impluensya at kapangyarihan ng Ebanghelyo. At naway maramdaman maging ang kapangyarihan ng Ebanghelyo na yan sa aming mga individual. At kung kami man ay, sino man sa amin ay tawagin mo sa larangan ng politika, gawin namin ito ng marangal at may mabuting patutuo. Pinapanalangin namin maging ang aming pamahalaan. Tinawag mo kaming ipanalangin ang aming pamahalaan para sa kapayapaan, ngunit ang aming papel bilang iglesia ay sa pangangaral ng Ebanghelyo na makapagbabago ng mga individual. Panalangin namin na manatili kaming tapat sa misyon na ito. Panalangin namin ito sa pangalan lamang ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen.